My mother went into a mental hospital just after I was born. People didn't know much about postnatal depression in 1950, so putting her in a psychiatric ward was a pretty basic and brutal response. I was born in October, which meant she was there in hospital over Christmas. It was a strange, disturbing time, but she was well enough to be part of the Crichton Royal Christmas Choir, put together especially for the festive season. Now, we're quite a musical family, but not in a technical sense. My mother loved to sing, but she never learned to read music. She had no experience of singing in a formal choir, and so she never understood the nature of parts singing, soprano, alto, tenor and bass. She thought bass was pronounced bass, as well you might. So my mother got presented with this sheet of words and music and all the parts written separately, and she thought she had to sing them all. It was the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke set to music, and there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the fields. And so she sang, and there were in that same country, and there were in that same country, shepherds abiding in the fields, shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone about them. It was a hilarious mistake, but it did mean that she learned the words, really memorised them, burned them deep into her thinking. Keep that story at the back of your mind. We'll come back to it. I remember the time my daughter had a very difficult choice to make. Would it be Noddy or would it be Jesus? It was a debate brought about by the two Advent calendars she was given. It had been a long-held annual tradition in our family that Advent calendars were a proper part of our build-up to Christmas Day. But they had to be the real thing. Open a little window every day and there would be a Bible verse or a picture connected to the Christmas story. But no chocolate. So when someone gave her a Noddy Christmas Advent calendar with chocolate, it was a whole brave new world. I suppose it wasn't strictly accurate to call it an Advent calendar because it went for 31 days. But when there's chocolate involved, say, who's counting? The Noddy Advent calendar phenomenon seems to be all about offering an alternative approach to Christmas, symbolising a quite different kind of Christmas. Or perhaps these days it's actually Jesus who offers that. A different kind of Christmas. Well, anyway, let's compare and contrast. For a start, there was no Noddy. I'm sorry if that's a terrible piece of news to anyone, but there was no Noddy. He's fiction, imagination, a children's tale. However, of Christ, born in the night, Mary's child, one historian wrote, "Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a young peasant woman. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30, and then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He had no credentials but himself. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends, the 12 who had learned so much from him and had promised him their enduring loyalty, ran away and left him. He went through a mockery of a trial, was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. When he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. Yet I am well within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as has this one solitary life." Here's another crucial difference between the two approaches to Christmas with the Noddy take on it all. Nothing is asked of us. With the Noddy take on it all, nothing is asked of us. It's just about good times, legitimised self-indulgence, fun, no pressure, no obligations. Do what you like, be who you want, let your guard down a little bit, throw your inhibitions to the four winds, let it all hang out. However, with the Jesus dimension, everything is asked of us. The nagging demand. The surefire certainty that he has not just come to entertain us, charm and delight us, tickle our emotions for a brief instant, but to change our life, challenge our assumptions, summon us to walk with him. So there is nothing easy, convenient, or caressing about this reality. This is demand and dare and call. Open one of these little windows into the real thing and shudder with the realization that this is no game, no kiddies play. This is about your life, where it's going, what it's for, what it means. Look at coming up to Christmas through the naughty Advent experience, and there is no dark side, it's just confectionery in every sense. Noddy, the icon of simple innocence, a piece of fluff and no more. But Christ, we will discover very early on, is born to die. And the brutal slaughter of the innocents of Bethlehem and its environs by King Herod sets the mood, sets the agenda. However cute and sentimental we want to make the manger scene, soft focus, backlit, warm glow, the harsh reality is that the baby Jesus becomes the man Jesus, angry for God, passionate for truth, daring in his commitment to the lost and the loser, savagely critical of the kind of religion that mistakes procedures for love. A Jesus doomed to crash up against the systems and the power brokers and destined to be broken on the wheel of history. Think about that as you ooh and ah and softly sing Away in a Manger. The light around the head of the Christ child only shows more starkly the shadows that will surround him. So yes, if you want only the easy, bright optimism of a children's book, stick with Noddy. But if you have any stomach for the truth, grown up, bruised and bloody truth, then stay with the real story, regardless of where it will take you. It may seem harsh to say it, but the reality is that the Noddy Advent calendar is pretty typical of a way of dealing with the Christmas event that is sometimes tacky and often profit-driven. The slight air of desperation, the somewhat muted bonanza this year at the stores, is still a bonanza that leaves us all trembling when the January credit card bill arrives in and we shake our heads in disbelief at what our generosity or our profligacy has cost us. We twist our hands in anxiety over how on earth we're ever going to catch up with ourselves. It's rather too predictable and easy to target the tackier side of Christmas and critique the commercialism that underpins the experience of many people. It's good that people give presents. It's wonderful to get thoughtful gifts, to make connections with people we haven't seen for a long time. Don't knock it, to visit relatives whom we love and shower our children with kindness. And if from time to time good taste gets swept to one side and some cynical exploitation of the precious time kicks in, then we have brains and hearts and we can make distinctions, we might hope, between the false and the real. And yet the anxiety must remain that there will be people out there for whom the Christian dimension in their Advent Christmas journey is simply non-existent. Like the citizens of Narnia, they have winter but no Christmas. They have Noddy and chocolate money but no Jesus. Those who believe the adverts that it wouldn't be Christmas without the Radio Times. Indeed, the slight sense is beginning to emerge that there's almost resentment that these blinking Christians have gone and stuck their noses into something that is no concern of theirs and are threatening to hijack this lovely holiday spend fest with their own evangelical devious purpose, bringing religion into Christmas. Bah humbug. It's an outrage. Whatever next. But with every second advertiser claiming that they can provide us with the best Christmas ever, it takes a clear head and some resolute thinking to keep insisting that the best Christmas ever might just actually have been the very first one, when the Saviour of the world was born. And if you miss that point, you miss the whole point. If you fail to anticipate that miracle, you fail. People nowadays want authenticity, not hype, not sound and fury signifying hee-haw. Opening the windows on the Jesus Christmas can be a real journey of spiritual intensity, and that's what it should be, deep and searching and meaningful. I'd like you to come with me and open one other window to another hospital ward at night, Christmas Eve in fact. My mother is almost 80 years old now and is in hospital because she's had a mild stroke. Her old husband is in a side room in the same ward and he is dying. The ward is dark and quiet, as they are in the late evening, about this time actually. It's Christmas Eve. And here, lying on her hospital bed, is someone who knows the story, understands what a special, sacred night it is for all the world, for her. And so there in that ward, among the broken bodies and the uncertainties of illness, in the dark, she tells the story she had learned by heart 53 years before, in a different ward, of a different hospital. She speaks softly in the darkness. And there were, in that same country, shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them. And the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Her tired voice died away. A lot of people were crying that night. Nursing staff, patients. For they knew it was real, they knew it was true, they had opened a window and the real Christmas had reached them deep in their soul.